Phone?
Yes, hello.
Rick, how are you?
Well, evidently I'm pretty foggy brained here. That's what sitar playing will do to you. It'll bliss you out so that you totally lose track of time and space. But here I am, Russell. I
Well,
appreciate
welcome.
your patience.
Yeah, hey, welcome on the show. And we just played Three Sticks from your CD, Shiva Dancing Westward. So I'll ask you right from the start. Give us the inspiration behind that track.
Well, for that particular track, there's a Led Zeppelin song from their fourth album called Four Sticks. And I don't you or your listeners may know the riff. It's du-du-du-du-du-du-du-du.
Oh,
Anyway,
yes.
so
Yes.
I took the first three notes of that, and that's what so I that song is based on the first three notes of that Led Zeppelin song. So that's where I got the title, Three Sticks instead of Four Sticks. And I'm playing those first three notes of that Led Zeppelin riff. I'm playing them in a little bit different time of the notes. So you don't exactly hear the Zeppelin riff, but that was the inspiration for it. So yeah, thank you, Jimmy Page, and the rest of Led Zeppelin for that one. I hope they
Oh
don't,
boy.
well, if they want a co-writing credit and want some of the profits, I'll send them a check for $1.23, and we'll be even. So there you go.
Well, we have a common theme with Led Zeppelin. Boy, I can think back to so many great tracks that they put out in my teens, in my early years as a young man, listening to that great music.
Yeah. And I can't remember if I mentioned this to you. I do a version of Zeppelin's Kashmir when I
Oh, really?
perform live. Yeah,
Oh,
and
I'm gonna have to see that.
I have not recorded that, but I play a lot of yoga sessions around the Daytona Beach area, Daytona Beach, Florida, and I play at cafes, I play at art festivals, a lot of that kind of thing. But I was always hesitant to play Kashmir at yoga sessions. I'll be playing kind of mellow meditative music, and the yoga instructor will be saying, "Okay, let's do the downward dog," whatever. And so finally, I said, "I'm going to play Kashmir," because I thought it would take the yoga practitioners kind of out of the mood, but they loved it. They loved it. And so I always include it where whatever I'm playing, whether it's yoga sessions or even sacred events. Sometimes I've played sacred gatherings at pagan gatherings or at what's called satsangs that spiritual gurus from India have given. But they all love Kashmir,
That's
there you
my
go.
favorite, my favorite Zeppelin song by far. That's number one on my list. So, Rick, I
I
know
think it's up there for
we.
me too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I know we first met in the singer song show, singer, excuse me, Songwriters Showcase of America in DeLand. But I think I heard you first play in Ormond Beach. If you remember, Under the Bridge on that stage.
Okay. Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
I
Yep.
heard you
Yep.
there
That's
first, and you actually followed our set and DeLand. And I mean, I have to tell you, I'm mesmerized by your playing. There is enchantment to that instrument and sound, and I'm sure you've heard that before.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, it is a it's obviously it's a drone music. It's a chill music. It's got and I used to tell my late wife, she would say, "Rick, you should try and play here and there, places where Jimmy Buffett, guys play and where classic rock bands." And I would say, "Well, it's not music for everybody. But it may have more appeal than I realize because people seem to connect to that it can be trance like music.
Yes.
And people seem to connect to it. And if anybody who gets my CD or hears tracks on my website, you know, Three Sticks piece is a, you know, kind of up tempo, got, you know, a little bit of robust flavor to it. You know, at least I hope. So sitar, just like any other music, you can do it mellow or you can do it up tempo and, you know, helter skelter. So it can adapt to whatever kind of moods, you know, you may be in. But again, it's not music for everybody. So, you know, it's kind of that old joke, you know, usually bagpipes are what, get the joke. It's like, oh, that's bagpipe. Yeah. Oh, I'll play bagpipes music if you want to drive everybody out of the room. Well, you know, sitar like bagpipes is a drone music. But obviously it connects with me, and I'm fortunate that it does connect with more people than I really realize. So.
Yeah. So Rick, in looking at your biography, and this group means a lot to me as well, but I the Beatles had a very, you know, special meaning in your life when they came to America many years ago. Tell our listeners, you know, really what the Beatles mean to you.
Yeah, I've written, when I worked at the Daytona Beach newspaper as the arts and entertainment writer, I had a column and I would write occasionally, but it was actually my dad. This is back in the mid 60s, you know, early 60s. He said he brought home the first Beatles album. And for my older brother, myself, and my younger brother, he said, here's that group you've been hearing about. And of course, that, you know, that started it all. And of course, I watched the Ed Sullivan stuff too. But, you know, I look back like on the song Tomorrow Never Knows, which is off the Revolver album from 1966. And, you know, even listening to that today, I'm thinking, what? They put that on an album? I mean, and I play a version of Tomorrow Never Knows live too. And it's like, wow. You know, and as a kid, you know, 8-year-old in 1966, it was just like, whoa, what's going on here? This is really good. You know, I Want to Hold Your Hand, but all the esoteric stuff. And then George Harrison was doing the sitar stuff. But I didn't really connect to the sitar stuff until, geez, it was, I've been playing since, what, I guess I got my sitar in 2005. But I started listening more and more to world music, music from India, Celtic folk music. And there's a place in Melbourne, Florida, that imports instruments from India, Pakistan, the Middle East. And I said, I'm going to go down there and buy the weirdest instrument I can find. Well, they had sitars. And then I got down there. It's like, wait a minute. I'm a huge Beatles fan. George Harrison, you know, obviously he's the one who introduced sitar on Norwegian Wood, Within You, Without You. And so I kind of did the facepalm thing and say, what, Rick, you got to get a sitar. So your listeners may or may not know that Ravi Shankar, you know, you think sitar and it's like he's the man. You know, he was born in India, and he's the one who brought sitar and introduced it more or less to George Harrison. But really, it was George Harrison, not Ravi Shankar, that made me want to play sitar. And I call my music East-West fusion. I am not playing classical Indian raga. Now, raga is, if you listen to a Ravi Shankar album, you'll hear that's raga. I mean, he mostly plays raga. But I do what I call East-West fusion, and George Harrison was the one, and, you know, and in the context of the Beatles, that to me created that East-West fusion. So a little bit of rock and roll, a little bit of Indian rhythms, of course, the droning sound of the sitar, you know, and that's just one aspect. Your question was, you know, what about the Beatles? Well, right. That's just one aspect of them. You know, it's, of course, I have had this argument with friends. I think 50 years from now, I think the only music of our era that's going to be remembered and played is the Beatles. People say, oh, Dylan, or Michael Jackson. It's like, it's good stuff, but I don't think it's going to be out in the public consciousness like the Beatles are. And it was my stepkids who kind of led me to that theory, because I didn't sit them down when they were young and say, you must listen to the Beatles. They kind of just picked it up, you know, on their own. Now, you know, and I'm also playing Doors and Dylan and, you know, all the other 60s classic rock, because that's what I grew up. And also Pearl Jam and, you know, and some later stuff too, don't get me wrong. But the Beatles is what really glommed onto their brains, you know, kind of like that leech monster from an old Star Trek episode that kind of leached into them. So it's like, wow, this music connects to them. It wasn't just me. And of course, with me, the whole sitar aspect, again, to me, George Harrison was brilliant the way he was able to keep that character of sitar and Indian music and do it in a rock context and do justice to both Indian music and rock music. So, you know, however well I, you know, listeners can judge how well I have a similar fusion, but that's the roots of what I do right there.
Well, unfortunately, Rick, we have only a few more minutes left on the show.
Sure,
but
sure.
I want to play one more track.
Sure.
You know, with you with your focus now on flute, and Bill, let's play Eagle Takes Flight Above Chaco Canyon. Nice, Rick. Hey, Rick, we're going to have you back on when we have a full half hour. And
sure,
I really appreciate
sure, man, anytime.
I appreciate you jumping on tonight. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going in the studio next year for my third CD. I have to find a way to get your sitar on my album in some song or track.
I would love it. Let's make it happen, Russell.
I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to think of what song and where to fit that in, but that's an enchanting instrument for me, and I'm very impressed by your playing. So we'll definitely have you on when we have a full half hour. Thanks again, Rick, for jumping on. I appreciate it.
All right. All right. Take care, Russell. Good to talk to you.
Yep.
Have a good night.
Yep. Bye now. Please visit my website again, everybody, russellfoiseemusic.com, which includes Island Dream Records. I'll try to help connect your music to be heard in online digital forums. My name is Russell Foisey, your host of the Original Lyric Stream Radio Show. Thank you again, my friend Bill Miller. And remember, try matter what you're told. Good night.